World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
You know, I love that. I love that intro. I was just listening to it. I was doing some doodling over here, and I was listening to that intro. That thing's 20-some. That's 20-some years old, and it is so appropriate today. Trying to share the gospel without any backbone to it. That's why they called us evangelifish. We're jellyfish. Christians without a backbone. It's 20-some years ago. I've been riding this horse for quite a while, trying to wake up people to understand exactly what's going on. Man, I got a lot on the table today. We'll do some communion here real quick. A lot on the plate, a lot to talk about. In fact, I mentioned in the pre-show before we went live, golly, I could go a thousand different directions on a thousand different topics right now of exactly what's going on. By the way, I need to say this every once in a while because we pick up new viewers all the time. If you're watching this show, wherever you're watching, say, man, I'd love to ask some questions. Well, you can do that. But you have to log on at CoachDaveLive.com. You got to go to CoachDaveLive.com. That's our homepage. And see up there in the green says join the queue. And if you join the queue, then that brings you into the collection of people who then can raise their hand and have the opportunity to make a comment. So we'd love to have you join you. And listen, I want you to know this. Over the history of this show, today being show number 2,560, that's a lot of them, we have never banned anyone. Never banned anyone for something they said or something they believed or whatever. Never, not one time. We don't do that. This is it's a free speech forum. Now, that doesn't mean we don't want to smack you in the mouth. But we don't ban anybody here. So join us. We're going to do communion here in just a second. I got some stuff to lay out on the table today I want to get to. Before I do that, real quickly, Spencer, please put it in the chat. Folks, please send a card to Pastor Bill and to Paul Goslin. Please do that. That's not that hard for any of us to do. And it's an encouragement to them. And this is really important. Pastor Bill's address is on the screen right now. And this is really important. You cannot send to him a stamped envelope. You have to go to the post office and get an envelope that has a stamp already printed on it. If you send him a stamped envelope, he will not get it. Okay? There's his address. Take a picture of it. Get your phone out right now and go right up there and go click. I got it. I got his phone number. Let me do it right here. Look at it. Look at this guy here. Thanks, Spencer. Good work. And then Paul Goslin, the same. Do the same thing. Let me get a picture of that real quick. Folks, these are our brothers, right? These are our brothers. I'm taking a picture of it. Let's just, how much time does it take to spend to send him a card? Let's just do that. Yeah, Jeff, go ahead real quickly.
Coach, I don't understand, but Mary Jane called that prison. And they're saying that, I guess somebody said something about no licked stamps.
No.
But you can, they told her, you can put a regular stamp on it, self-adhesive, and the self-adhesive envelope, and he will get it. She called him.
Okay.
So check it out. If somebody wants to call him, I have to check. You know what I mean?
Self-adhesive. In other words, you can't lick it. So it's one of those you got to peel the back out on sales. Thanks, Jim. Yeah. That's some good information. That's a good information. So now we have both of them. Please try to do that today. Okay, man, I got so much stuff I want to dive into. Yeah, I wish all of America was watching. Because you got to admit something, man. We get into some stuff here, don't we? And isn't it amazing how when we get into the stuff, 3 or 4 weeks or 3 or 4 months later, media catches up to us. You say, well, God, we were talking about that 4 months ago. And just now they're getting it. Geoengineering, The government can control the weather, no longer even open for debate. They can control the weather. What? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they can control the weather. A lot going on. The Friday morning, Joe gets up real early out there, 4 o'clock in the morning out there in California, and Joe leads us in communion. So, Joe, remember, it says, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. And I'm sorry that we have taken communion and we have, what's the word I'm looking for? Religiousized it. Something only the priest can do and all that kind of stuff. As often as you do this, this represents the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, actually, Coach, my first alarm is at 3:24 and I've got a couple.
Well, you can go back to sleep. I'll give you permission to take a nap.
And I also think that we tend to take communion for granted.
We do.
We don't really put our hearts into actually what it means and what happened and the whole thing.
Amen.
But the one good thing about that blasphemous fiasco in the Paris, with what happened, I think a lot of Christians woke up when they did that.
Yep, I think so.
And that was communion night. Remember when they did that? Well, communion meal. That was it. Okay, so if someone could open up the chapter.
That'd be you, Spence. You talking
to
me?
I haven't committed it to memory yet, Spencer, so. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death?
Wow.
Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, like that as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
What happened to me? I got born again. That happened to me. That happened to me. I was buried in baptism, and Christ raised up, glory of the Father, and so I'm walking in the newness of life. And if you haven't had that born again experience, if all you have is religion, then explains, I hate to say this, why some of us are so powerless. Go ahead, Joe.
For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection.
Wow, so if he resurrected, that means we get to also, huh? Awesome.
If we died with him, then we are resurrected with him.
Amen.
Because we are a new creature.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin.
Wow, that is so powerful, isn't it?
Yeah.
All the religion, all the stuff they teach us, that's the crux of it right there.
It's profound.
It is.
For he that is dead is freed from sin.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him.
Simple.
Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him.
Praise the Lord.
For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God.
Wow.
Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin,
Amen.
But alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Romans is a pretty profound book.
Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Are you controlled by your lust? I used to be controlled by my lusts. No more. I got power over it. The new birth.
We can continue to 14 if you want. I was going to cut it off at 11, but it is also very relevant here. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God.
Mm-hmm.
For sin shall not have dominion over you.
Amen.
For ye are not under the law, but under grace.
All right, man. Sin don't own me no more. It don't own me no more. I've been bought with a price, baby. Amen, Joe. It's good.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good.
Well, thank you for going on to the next verse, Coach, because I debated whether or not to go to 14 or just to stop at 11.
Amen. For sin, so shall not have dominion.
I guess we're going to go to 14.
Because I'm not under the law, but I'm under grace. Now, that doesn't give you the right to not follow the law, but it says you're not saved by the law. You're under grace.
Yeah. You know, but the law is what Christ fulfilled, and he's the only one. So it had its purpose. Without it, there would be no measurement. And it was the measurement which he fulfilled, the only one.
The measurement was this, Joe. The wages of sin is death.
Or death.
Everybody who sins, it costs a price. And that price is what? That's your fine. When you sin, you go before the judge, and your fine is death. But Jesus Christ paid the fine for you. See, he didn't cancel it. He died in your place, in my place. Why? Because he was sinless. He was sinless. If Jesus had sinned, he would be dying on the cross for his own sin. But because he was sinless, he was the perfect sacrifice, because he had not sinned, and he paid a debt he did not owe. It's pretty powerful, man.
Yeah, it's extremely powerful. And that he knew he would pay this price before we were created. That's mm-hmm. even more profound.
Amen. Amen. All right, let's get on there, Joe. We can stay
okay. There. So, dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with gratitude in our hearts, that our hearts are beating, that our lungs are full for this day that you have made. And we're so grateful that you've seen fit that we here can be together here with you in this day, Lord. And you know these times we are in, Lord. These are times where evil is good and good is evil. These are times when justice is rare. These are times when families don't speak because some members of the family don't believe the truth and then the ears can't hear the truth. And so those families either don't speak together or they don't talk about truth anymore. We ask that you heal our nation. We ask that you heal our families. Please forgive us for having lived our lives and thinking that our representatives were doing their job, but we weren't watching them. We weren't participating sometimes ourselves, and we have almost lost our nation. But we realize, Lord, that it's your nation more than it's ours. It's a covenant nation, and that you can flip the table over and we can and fix it, Lord. But only you can do it. We realize that now. But we also see the chess pieces on the board that you have put there. And we also know there's a lot of things happening that we can't see. So we ask for faith. We ask that you help our faith, that we know that you will not abandon us. And that you will forgive our land, that you will forgive our country, as we ask forgiveness for, from you, as you said in 2 Corinthians. And I know that every member here of this huddle has been on their knees repenting for their nation. And I also ask, Lord, that you watch over our brothers in prisons unjustly put there. And we ask that you judge those in that system who put them there, Lord. And those who did wrong putting them there, please let them be brought to their knees so that they will repent and have salvation in you. But do not let their crimes go unpunished, but give them the chance for salvation, Lord. And we ask that you watch over us and our families and our loved ones and all things dear to us in these unprecedented times. And we ask that you remind us that we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ, and that we do what he would do, that in times when we feel we should be anger, to let that be a righteous anger to motivate us to be even braver and to do the things that we should do that you would have us do. But we realize that it isn't always a time for us to flip the table, but you need to tell us when, Lord, and how and where and in what manner. Often it's mostly for us to love our enemy. That's so hard to do, God. So hard to do. So hard for me to love that Muslim man in Berlin who almost raped my daughter in church. It's really hard. And I know each of us has a similar thing in our lives, that if not many things that are hard to love somebody. We need to do that, Lord. Because the more and more I worship you, the more I understand that you are love. Pure love. And so we ask you that you bless this bread and this drink, representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for communion, and we thank you for being the God that gave his only begotten Son, that we who believe in him may live and not have eternally and may not perish. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Joe, thank you for being faithful, getting up early in the morning doing it. Appreciate you.
Well, thank you for the privilege, Coach.
I know.
It keeps me connected with all of us, all of you, you know.
It does. It does. Amen. Amen. Man, a lot going on. I'm looking at my notes over here. I want to dive in. It's been 20 minutes already. So much stuff. Let's just do this real quickly. Pull up number one. Again, folks, remember this. At the beginning, when things begin to be revealed to us, understand that the average person isn't going to believe it, okay? Look what popped up today. Small rural Indiana city overwhelmed by thousands of Haitian migrants. What do you suppose they're doing there? The exact same thing that they're doing in Springfield, Ohio. So, you know, they talk about misinformation and there isn't any such thing as misinformation. There's something true and something false, but there's no misinformation or disinformation. We have to understand that the Luciferians make word salads to keep us confused, okay? To keep us confused. So if it's happening in Springfield and it's happening in this small Indiana town, you can bet that it's happening somewhere near you as well. And it's a systematic destruction of Christianity in the West. Why? Because if they can get the United States to fall, that shining city set on the hill, the Christian America, then get that to fall, it'll be a great victory. So don't be ignorant of Satan's devices. Excuse me, I want to talk to you a little bit here. I'm going to do it in a minute, just giving you a heads up here. Go to number five. Go to number five. I'm going to get Craig in here and Randy, and I got something I want to share with you guys. The page you exist is not what? That doesn't even make sense. Try it again, Spencer. Let me see. Is it a pop-up for me? It says, there it is. Okay, now, folks, I'm putting this in here only for one reason. Spencer, if you can, highlight those three right there. Highlight those and put those in the chat, okay? These are three interviews that are see, a lot of people that you're dealing with still don't understand that weather's being manipulated. They don't understand. It's a weapon of their warfare because their weapons are not carnal, but mighty through God, right? At the weapons of our warfare, to understand these are spiritual things that are happening around us. So I'm just going to put these three things in there. It's an interview with Dane Wigington, the foremost expert of climate engineering, and Alex Jones, and then another one on Brideon, and they just show you that weather manipulation is the real thing. So you can either put this thing in the chat and you can click on those on your own. But either way, I'm not going to take time to show them, but I think it's important that we make it available. So Spencer, maybe you can just put that whole article in the chat. And then folks, you see the three videos that you might want to share with somebody if they don't absolutely get what's going on. The government has now admitted what's been found out. That was weather wars, is weather wars. That was a directed, folks, it's not even open for debate. That was a directed, enhanced hurricane that went up through wherever, through there. Okay, cool. So let me pull back from that a second. I want to get Randy in here. I want to get Craig in there. I want Craig to come in first because the Bible says, watch what's going on in the heavenlies. There's signs in the heavenlies is what the scripture tells us, right? And you guys know Mr. Numbers there, he's always on top of what's going on. And last night, some strange things going up on in the skies. Craig, come on in and tell us what's going on up in the skies.
Well, the sun's been very active, right? Because we're in solar maximum. This is a great website. It's called spaceweather.com. And it's great to kind of look at it every day because it talks about the energy that's coming in here. We're always talking about the energy. And remember, we were talking about grounding. You know, Mark says, hey, take off your shoes. As a matter of fact, Randy gave me this card. I remember down when we went to the Georgia Guidestones, he gave me this little, looked like a credit card. He says, man, I put this thing in my pocket. My back doesn't hurt. And I said, that's interesting. I said, so I always look into things. You know, I know Randy's a good man, but it was impregnated with the Schumann frequency of 7.83. So we always talk about frequencies, and that's a healing frequency.
That's okay? Right.
So anyways, last night, you know, I just happened to be outside working in my fields, and I looked up and I said, hey, man, there's this red glow and the sun's going down. I said, it's not a sun ray. And you know what it was? Maybe Spencer can go up. We got the Northern Lights, right? And this isn't the first time this year. This is probably the third or fourth time. And if you remember back in 2020, you let me do a thing called Here Comes the Sun. Yep. I said, if you don't study this, you're going to miss what's going to be happening over the next couple of years. Right. I said, you see this here. This is telling you what I told you back then. The magnetic field shrinking in the earth is going to have profound effects on your weather, on your life. Okay. And there's a propheticness to what's going on here. So that's the kind of pictures that were being seen. I sent you what happened over there behind me. But what I really want to tie in here, Coach, you know, I'm always about times, dates, and calendars, right? And God put his own calendar in place. Okay. He goes by his time of orienting when he says, okay, we've passed this point. Okay. And that's what these last feasts are. All right. If you look at the way in Leviticus, God said, these are forever feasts. Okay. Now, do we have to obey and follow them? No. All right. But that doesn't mean if they're forever, they keep going, right? Of course, this is for the Jewish people. In the feasts are hidden Christ. They can't see it. We celebrate Passover. They can't see that Christ was the sacrificial lamb, okay? Remember when Jesus said, hey, your father Abraham, he was glad to see me. Do you know where that is in the Bible? When did Jesus ever see Abraham? Does anybody know where that is? Well, let me help you out. Didn't King Melchizedek come in after Lot? Remember? And he said, let's make three tabernacles to get him and his two angels. And what did Abraham make? Bread and wine. What did y'all just do? Bread and wine. This is the depth and the of the Bible. And when the Holy Spirit reveals these things to you, okay, it's confirmation.
Amen.
You can, in front of you, but you can't see it, right? And so, anyways, what I'm just saying is when Rosh Hashanah happened on October 2nd, you know, when the first sighting of the moon, okay, then you have the 10 days of awe. We're in the 10 days of awe. Coming up on October 12th, all right, this year, this is a Gregorian calendar. We're not, he doesn't run by the Gregorian calendar, but he runs by his calendar, is what? Yom Kippur, where the high priest goes and makes atonement for the whole nation, right? Passover is an individual family thing. Okay, this is the whole nation. Okay, well, that's coming up October 12th. Then you wait 5 days, and then you have the Feast of Tabernacles, okay? So all these things are happening during God's final feasts of this particular year. And these things are even enhancing what telling you this, we're in a very spiritual time. And if you go down, Spencer, just go down a little bit further than the lights. I want to show you this electric. Okay, those red dots, all right, if it says that's the electrical energy in the ground you're walking on.
Wow.
That affects your spirit. That affects your body. That affects your mind. That for some people, it makes their medical conditions worse. Okay.
Hey, Craig, let me stop while I'm thinking of it, right? I just ordered for my wife and I a grounding sheet for our bed. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that, right? But the grounding sheet that you plug in, you lay on it at night, is supposed to, the energy that Craig's talking about, supposed to be a healing process. And there's all kinds of, I'll give you a full report later on, but there's all kinds of testimonies of people laying on these sheets or these pads, and man, soreness is leaving, sickness is leaving them, all this kind of stuff. Because why, Craig? Energy. The energy that we're dealing with is very, very real.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And you can see over there on that northeast corner where it's red, that's probably where Randy is. That's probably some of them courthouses he walked over. But anyways, that's, I just wanted to share that. And another thing, we're getting ready to have an earthquake. Okay, I've tried to tell you that like 6 months ago. All right, go to LA's Earthquake Mystery there, Spence, if you can.
Man, I love this show. Anybody love this show besides me?
Okay. And go down a little bit further, Spencer, till it says why. Keep going a little bit. I don't want to go to the whole thing here. Where the quakes are, keep going a little bit more. A little bit more. Okay, maybe go up to where the quakes are. I'm sorry. Anyways, what it says is they have had not more earthquakes, okay, in the last 65 years. Okay, it says, counting all the magnitudes of four, the highest annual total in 65 years. Okay, so what is that telling you? It's telling you the earth is moving. There are people's homes in LA. If you look at the past news over a few weeks ago, they're separating. The ground is separating. They have to leave their homes. If anybody's caught some of those pictures, what I'm trying to tell you is the story is coming, and this is tied to God's judgment. This is also tied to his judgment too. So anyways, I'll just put those two things and let Randy speak.
Wow. Thank you, Craig. But if you can, Spence, put all those things in the chats of people. Hey folks, here's what we try to do here. I try to present things to you, and then we put it in the chat. Do your own research. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to believe us. But I'm telling you this, when I get into some of this stuff, I think, are you kidding me? How come I didn't know that? How come I didn't hear that on CNN? How come, huh? Right? So thank God for Craig being the one out there digging all that stuff, the numbers guy and the importance of it, even though it doesn't seem like it's important to me because it's not my bailiwick, right? But he's ever since I met Craig, I met him, I drove out to, where were we, Craig, someplace in Maryland? You drove over a hill and I drove over
Pennsylvania. It was Bobby's thing right there by Cabela's, right?
Yeah, right, yeah. And you said, Coach, remember? Here's what's going on. And I left there and my head was spinning. Said, whoa, 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 whoa. But it's been Craig's baby in that he's all over this stuff and the grand solar minimum and the changes in the sun and in the star and the it's, folks, it's happening, man. A lot of crazy, crazy things that are going on.
Well, one more thing about it, Coach. Okay, we've got the Million Woman March with Christian. There's going to be some men there, but of course you know how it is. Anyways,
Jose, man,
it's coming.
Hey, Craig, go on, man. Don't say that.
It's coming. It's here on Saturday. What I'm saying is there's a spiritual force in Washington, D.C. that recognizes Christ, all right? And I'm just saying God has his – wherever there's evil, there's good. There's a spiritual thing going on in D.C. this weekend. So.
Amen. Amen. Wow. Thanks, Craig. Randy. Randy's on top of it, too. Come on in, Randy. For those of you who don't know, Craig is in Maryland. Randy's in Oklahoma. So we're everywhere, folks. Go ahead, Randy.
Coach, you know what? You know why I love Craig? Not just because he's smart. He keeps the creator at the top and the creation, everything is underneath that. See, when you convert it, that's when you fall prey to the lie. You know, you start worshiping the lie instead of the lie. So you keep it in perspective, and he always does that. I appreciate that, but Craig. Coach, you know, we're going to do this. We're starting this media campaign, the DDSW, I call it, Declarations, Decrees, Spiritual Warfare. And we're going to start it Saturday. And, you know, when I didn't really notice it, but, you know, that's the Day of Atonement, Feast Day of Atonement. And then the next week is the Feast of Tabernacles, and we're going to do it in another city. So basically, Coach, in Oklahoma, there's two big cities, Tulsa, Oklahoma City. They carry most of the media. Okay, all the major networks are there, the Fox, ABC, CBS, NBC, and PBS, and then they both have the two major newspapers. So, you know, Coach, I've kind of looked around the nation, and every state, there's usually about three or four of the bigger cities that are, I think in Ohio, there's five, but they carry it. So this is an operation that not going to take a lot of time. You know, I mean, yes, we pray every day, Coach, but when we go there on foot and we go there with our body and we stand on the threshold, there's something, and then we speak what God is saying through us, through the Holy Spirit. There's something happens.
He told Randy, he said, every place you put your foot, evidently he meant for us to go there, didn't he?
Yeah, that's the biggest problem with the church is they don't go, Coach. They don't move. They don't, their feet doesn't move. So this is what's important, Coach. And you know, we're doing this media thing. I'm looking at the calendar, and we're doing Tulsa. We're starting it tomorrow. We're going to do Tulsa. There's six stops. And we can do each one of those, and we're going to stand at the door, anoint the door, and do as much as we can. They might push us off back to the sidewalk, and we'll go back there. But we're going to do this. It takes about maybe 15, 20 minutes to do each one. And by the time you drive to the next one and get around to all of them, you know, it's going to take us less than 3 hours, Coach, to do Tulsa. Mm-hmm. And then next Saturday, we'll go down to Oklahoma City, and we'll do that. So, you know, Jean's been helping us. Lynn Garner, she's in here, Coach. She's been helping us a lot. And there's several other people. Roy Jones, he's on the show quite a bit. He helps us. So we're going to have probably 10 or 15 tomorrow, which we only need two, Coach. Jesus, okay. Didn't he say we're two or three of you are gathered together? Okay. I'm in the midst of there. So so the point is, Coach, you know, I looked at Ohio, and there's a lot of the group here from Ohio, Coach. You have five major cities there. And I drew up a simple little map and addresses and all that. And if a few of the people there would just say, okay, you know what, let's take a half a day and let's go do Columbus. And then a group may say, let's go do Cleveland. You can do your whole state in a day with five different groups, Coach. Just
Amen.
Half
Amen.
A day. I mean, this doesn't require a lot. But we have to see the value in us being obedient and going to that threshold. You know where I learned this, Coach? At Chappaqua. When we went to Hillary's, I learned that there's something happens.
We pulled her down, didn't we, Randy? You'll never convince me.
No, she's going to paint her face one more time, and then you'll never see her again. She's Jezebel in our country. That's who she is. We know that. But, yeah, she's done. Coach, we have to see the value in this. What we're doing, basically, in a nutshell, we are pulling down strongholds. We are closing the gates of hell over these places, the courthouses, the media, and we're going to go probably, Coach, there's going to be five or six different areas that we're going to cover in time. But we're not saying, hey, Jesus, don't come back and, you know, someday. All we're saying is until within, we occupy, Coach. We take dominion. So it's not wrong to want a righteous altar in place of where there's an unrighteous altar where they're doing evil. What is wrong with us changing that out, Coach? And we have the authority to do it. That's the point. So, Coach, I didn't mean to take this long, but we're getting it done down here, and we're teaching. The documentary is being made as we're speaking, and it's just going to be about a 45-minute maybe. And it's going to show just a group of little bunch of people in Oklahoma what can happen when you people stand up and start doing things. And I think a lot of the states are going to grab a hold of this, Coach, and we will see the fruit. Maybe not in the day, in the moment. It might take a week or a month or a year. But we will see the fruit of all this that we're doing in time, Coach.
Randy, what about the staking? What about the staking of the Masonic temples? There's one in every – there's a Masonic
Amen, Coach.
Temple in
That's every another area. That's right.
Yep.
You know, here's what's simple about it, Coach. A lot of times we're going somewhere and you're going, hey, I'm passing that building on the way. Let's just stop and take time and do this and stake it. Let's take time and pray over this and speak the will of God here.
Amen.
It doesn't take a lot of effort. We have to see the value in time and space. The Holy Spirit's just waiting on us, Coach.
Folks, just look at your local Masonic temple or anything that Randy's talking about. Look at it like a hornet's nest, right? And so when you want to get rid of the hornets, what do you got to do? You got to go pull that nest down, right? And so we've gone for a long time and have allowed the infiltration of those hornets into the church and into positions of authority. And the Lord told us, go. Do something about it. Every place you put your foot, I give to you. Go knock down that hornet's nest. And that's really, it's no more simple than that. No more complicated than that, right? So here, look, some of you out there looking for something to do, will begin to organize these things. I'll connect you with Randy. I would love to stake, my wife and I would love to go someplace every week here in Ohio. We could stake a lot of different things. But we need somebody out there to coordinate. Say, okay, Coach, I'll coordinate that. And then we'll bring the people together and we'll go do it rather than sitting back and whatever. Great work, Randy. Great work out there. We appreciate you. Where are you going this weekend?
We're doing Tulsa, which Tulsa. I'm only about an hour away. I work there a lot of days. So, we're running from Oklahoma. Different people are coming in, and we'll get together and we'll meet and we'll do that, and we'll probably have a little fellowship afterwards. So yeah, it's a great way to coach to create relationships and build. It's just being the church, Coach.
It's just being
the church.
Amen. All right, Randy. Thanks, man. Appreciate you,
Coach. And they're on. Mel has, I think she has all the media thing on Liberty Action Network, or you can call me and I'll email it to you. Either one.
See, Randy, there's so many things. I just think we ought to be staking election precincts. We ought to be doing that, right? Man, oh man, a lot going on. Lord, wake us up. We understand. Thanks, Randy. Hey, October 26th, Gary's doing a lot of work. Clay's doing some work. We're going to go to Jonesboro, Tennessee. Is that right? Name of it? Johnsonville. Jones. I always get it mixed up. We're going to go to Tennessee. We're taking a group down there beginning on the 26th of October. So that's what's 15 days out. We would love for some of you to come. It will be a life-changing experience for you if you've never done something like this. If you can only give us 2 days or only give us 3 days or whatever, you need to contact me, and I'm going to run it through Gary Pierce because Gary's doing all the organization of it. We would love to have at least a dozen, 15 people go down with us. We're going to, once we get in there and dig in, then we'll just continue from that point to bring people down for as long as we're able to do it. But we would love for you to be a part of it. Just look at your calendar. What do you do on October 26th through November 14th or whatever? Say, Coach, I can give 3 days. I can give 2 days. I'll be glad to be part of that, to go down for a life-changing experience for you, because it's critical, number one, that we begin once again for the church to understand that the church is responsible for the calamities, not the government. We have to break people off the government teat, and that's one of the things that we're able to do here. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. So just email us, say, Coach, I want to go. I want to go. And I'll get it to Gary and we'll go from there with it. That's 26th of this month. Cool.
Hey, Coach, can I give you an update on Brett? Because he got there yesterday.
We got Pennsylvania. Brett took a load of his own. Craig's taking a load of his own. I've got others who are taking a load of
their own. They went together. They went together. They drove.
Okay, so listen, if you have a look, if you just go, I'm telling you, go to your small town and say, we're gathering donations for the hurricane. People will come and drop stuff off. And you can put it in a trailer and you can drag it down there. You might have to rent a trailer, but we can do it. And we're willing to help finance you doing that. It's a chance for you to activate others around you for a good, righteous cause. Go ahead, Craig.
Now I call Pia Brett and them. They left about 8 o'clock up here from Hagerstown, Maryland. They're on the road for 14 hours, ran into some traffic. I mean, you guys are dedicated, right? The guy that drove my trailer down, and he got there and he said it was very professionally run. They got all these supplies. He says, this church has never done this before. Yeah, they got tractor trailers with refrigerators out there. They got this whole plan and everything. And here's what's cool about Coach. He said,
so it's good. See, that's why we did the recognizance. That's why we went and did some scouting last week, so that we knew when we plugged you in, it was going to be something worthy of you being able to go down there. So now we have a place where we can plug you in. I was on the Patriot Party News Roundtable last night. I do that every once in a while. And you know what they said? Nobody's doing anything in Tennessee. Several of the guys said, oh, they're doing stuff in North Carolina and Asheville. So Tennessee is awful, and nobody's in Tennessee. And Clay raised my hand and said, we are. We're in Tennessee, and I connected them all to Grindstone last night. So this is how, folks, this could be the church, again, church's finest hour. Get the hell away from the government and FEMA. Expect them to do everything for us. So it's all good. Clay, come on in. I see you there. Go ahead. Got to unmute there.
All right. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, I just wanted to give you all a quick update. Things are still going well here, but I tell you what, last night, I'm going to step out here where we're outside. Last night, as you can see in these mountains, it gets cold out here. It's this morning, it was 34 degrees in Damascus, Virginia, and it's 39 in Roan Mountain. And so here it is, October the 11th. And it's already, it may be freezing temperatures up in some of those mountains out there. So I went by the Goodwill distributor warehouse a couple of days ago and was checking to see if they could give winter coats so we could get the winter coats in the mountain. And the good news is somebody's already coming by there and picking up all the winter coats and getting them out to the mountains. But if you can, just pray for everybody that has inadequate heat sources and no power, because it's already going to be a factor of people getting real cold out there. I mean, it's cold out here right now, and the sun's about to come up.
Folks, I don't know if you can grasp the magnitude of this. Look at your house where you are right now. Right now, you just stop a minute and you look around your house. I'm looking around my multi-million dollar studio here. Boom. What if tomorrow it was all gone? That's happened to thousands of people. They have no home. They have no car. They have no computer. They have no power. They have nothing. And you got to see it to believe it. You just got to see it to believe it. So there are emergency needs, right now needs, and then long-term needs. Wow, what a job that is. Clay, thanks for doing that, man. Okay. Say, were you able to connect with those guys down there? Have you been able to connect?
Yeah, everything's, we got good communication going right now, but they're busy. So they can't, they respond as they have time, because sometimes they get off in those mountains, they don't have a good cellular connection.
That's grindstone, folks. It's good. Thanks, Clay. Jeff Klein, come on.
Coach, question for Randy. What time are you starting Saturday morning, your first location?
8 o'clock.
Okay, here's the idea. We're not going to be on the huddle tomorrow morning, so let's everybody start praying tomorrow morning at 8. We'll pray on the public square when I fire up the PA system for you from 1 to 3. We'll lift you in prayer. I'll get hooked up with Coach. We'll help with our Ohio locations. And then also, Coach, today, my big sign's going out front, along with selling the Trump flags and all the stuff I got going at that car lot. I'll put the big sign out front. Like you said, hurricane donation relief drop off. I got that whole building there. We'll just start having people fill that up, and we'll figure it out how we're going to get it there when it's full. So
yeah, we'll get her there. We'll get her there. That's right. Folks, this is a great opportunity for all of you to take the initiative to be the hurricane donation place. Now, look. It's a pain in the rear end because they're going to bring you all kinds of crap, right? Somebody's got to stack it, and somebody's got to load it. And it can be a pain in the butt, but it's going to be a great opportunity for you to more actively live out your faith. It'll change your life. And again, we're willing to help you with finances if you got to rent a truck, whatever you got to do, we're willing to help you do it, but you got to be the boots on the ground and get that done for us. Okay, cool. I got 13 minutes. Anybody else for the good of the group? Want to come in real quickly? Because I want to show you something. I got to give you a full report. Okay, let me give you a full report from yesterday. I went to Worthington Kilbourne High School yesterday with the seniors. And golly, I wish you all could come with me. I told my wife yesterday was for the first time the women weren't so witchy. The girls were a little bit more open yesterday. But I tried to make a presentation to them yesterday about situational ethics. And do you guys know what situational ethics is? Because this is education in American culture today. Situational ethics. Situational ethics being there is a system of right and wrong, but it's situational. There is right and wrong, but you can cut the corner depending on the situation. So one of the things I did yesterday was really, really powerful. Really powerful. I threw up on the screen the Ten Commandments. Now, I got them for you here, Spencer. Number 4, put them up there. And, of course, there was a day when they were all posted in every school in America, right? Not posted in every school in America. And I can promise you this. The kids don't know them. They don't know what the Ten Commandments are. And they see the Ten Commandments as chains on happiness. They see it as legalism. They hate the Ten Commandments. So I took a through them yesterday and I said, okay, let's all do this. Or I said, here are the Ten Commandments. And of course they're written right here, right? Hey, Spencer, maybe you can, well, okay, let me run down through them real quickly. Because I explained to them that the Ten Commandments are done in two different tablets. 4 on the one tablet tell you what your obligations are before God. What are they? I'm the Lord thy God, have no other gods before me. Don't make any graven images. I'm running them down quick, okay? And then, of course, it more than says, don't make any graven images. It says, don't bow down to them. Don't serve them, right? And explains that a lot more, but I keep on going down, Spencer. So what? No graven images. Don't take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And remember the Sabbath day. Boom! I said, okay, there's one tablet. Now, let me do me a favor. I said to all of the kids, do me a favor. Let's put this tablet aside. And let's call those tablets religion, okay? Let's put those aside. But can you explain to me, I want all of you to explain to me why you cannot agree that we would teach to every child in America the next 6. on the second tablet. Okay. So we had it up on the screen. Okay. So we get beyond the Sabbath. Okay. For 6 days, blah, blah. Okay. Okay. I said, boom. How about this one? You think we ought to teach everybody to honor thy father and mother? How many of you think that would be a good thing? Whether you're a Muslim, whether you're a Buddhist, whatever, honor your father and mother. It doesn't say to love them, because some of you are in a broken home. Your dad sold out your family, whatever, and he left, but he's still your dad, and you honor your father and mother. How many of you think that America would be better off if we taught everybody to honor your father and mother? And of course, they all raise their hand.
Boom.
How many of you are from a broken family and your whole life is screwed up because right there, because of that right there? Of course, they didn't raise their hand on that. I said, okay, so we all agree the sixth one we could teach to everybody, right? Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, atheists, honor your father and mother. Okay, good. I said, what about the next one? What about thou shalt not kill? How many in here think we ought to teach everybody don't kill? But kill isn't killing, it's murder. And I explained what murder is, the premeditated killing of an innocent human being. How many of you think we ought to teach everybody in America that you cannot murder? Well, what, you know the response, right? Everybody's hand goes up. I said, you feel like I'm shoving my beliefs on you? Or is this something you got to understand? I said to them, God's laws are protective. They show us how we're able to live together. You treat each other according to these, we have a peaceable society, all right? Thou shalt not murder. Y'all agree? We ought to teach people that? Yeah, of course they all agree. I said, okay, thou shalt not commit adultery. I said, what's adultery? Of course, they sort of knew, but they didn't know. They said, cheating. I said, well, no, more than that. What's adultery? Well, what does it mean if something's been adultered? Altered? What does that mean? I said, oh, poisoned? Yeah. So you're not supposed to poison what? You're not supposed to poison the sexual relationship. And how many of you would be in a better position today if your mom or your dad or whoever it was didn't go out on your mom or your dad, whoever it was? Or how many of you wouldn't be in the situation you're in today if your mom and dad hadn't had sex before marriage? And how many of you sitting here right now wish you hadn't had sex before marriage? Because why? God's laws are protective, and you commit adultery, and then what do? Then you have an abortion. And so all of these things, if you would just follow the simple precepts, these laws are protective. Randy, their eyes are getting big. Their eyes are getting big, right? I said, okay, everybody for that, huh? No more committing adultery. No more sleeping around. Everybody for that? Well, they were a little bit on that one, right? Because of the situational ethic. I said, okay, how about thou shalt not steal? Anybody think we ought to teach that to everybody? Anybody in here like thieves? Like, you don't like thieves? You don't like being stolen from? Well, then let's make a rule. Nobody steals. And if nobody steals, we're all safe. Our stuff's safe. It's a better society. It's better. How many of you think we ought to be teaching this to everybody? Well, everybody's hands go up, right? I said, thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. See, they tell us that means thou shalt not lie. That's not what that says. That's not what that says. It says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, meaning the lie. Oh, it's going to shake some of you. The lie that injures your neighbor is wrong.
Boom.
What about the lie that protects someone you love? Is that wrong? If somebody breaks into my house tonight and says, where's your wife? I've been wanting to rape that woman for the first time. How many of you think I'm going to tell that guy where my wife is? Isn't that a form of lying? Well, yeah, but what? It's protection. Protection. So not bear false witness against your neighbor to do harm to your neighbor. Are you tracking with me? Their eyes are opening. Their eyes are opening. And then thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. And I explained what coveting was. Look at where we are. Everybody wants what everybody else has. And why can't we all just be happy with what we have? Yada, yada. Went down through all that thing. It was powerful. And I said, can anybody in this room tell me why those six things should not be taught to every American? And they couldn't give me an answer. Now, they didn't know what they were. They didn't know what the Ten Commandments were. But when I presented it to them as protective, now hang on, because then it got really, really dicey. I said, how many of you think murder is wrong? Everybody thinks murder is wrong? Well, that's good. What is murder? And of course, they struggled with that a little bit. And finally, I got them to say, well, it's murder has to be premeditated. Yeah, it's got, you got to think it and plan it. That's murder one, think it and plan it. Okay, so murder one is the premeditated killing of an innocent human being. Some people have to be killed. If they're going to come and rape my wife, I'm going to shoot them. That's not a crime, because why? I'm protecting my wife. Remember, all God's laws are protective. So murder is the premeditated killing of an innocent human life. Y'all agree with me that that's wrong? That's wrong. Yeah, that's wrong. Okay, somebody explain to me something. How's abortion legal? Boom! They couldn't answer it. But you know what they did? They immediately went to situational ethics.
Boom.
Meaning, well, yes, murder's wrong, but I can't afford it. But I'm going to go to college. But see, they have no understanding of permanent things that are right and they are wrong and that do not change according to situations. And so what we are doing and what we're teaching our kids in American public schools is situational ethics, that it's okay to murder a baby, because we got into the, I wish you could have been there, because then they start talking about, well, it's not a baby yet and all that kind of stuff. It's just a fetus and all those lies that they've been told, yada, yada, yada. I said, oh, yeah? Well, are there any black kids in there? Well, of course, there were black kids in there. I said, hey, you know your ancestors? Your ancestors were in slavery. Do you know that? You know that, not you, maybe not your parents, but your ancestors were in slavery. And how did they make your ancestors slaves? Huh? Well, they said they weren't human. They were 6/10 of a human being, right? And so they locked up your relatives because they weren't human beings. And then finally we fought a civil war, and all of a sudden we said, well, we're wrong. They are human beings. And by the way, what was the Nazi Holocaust? How'd they get away with the Nazi Holocaust? Well, those guys said Jews weren't people, right? Jews weren't people. And because Jews weren't people, it was okay to kill them, right? Now you're saying the same thing about unborn babies.
Boom.
Boom! I'm telling you, man, I wish I could do that. I wish I could do that for a living. Because you can see those who still have some moral understanding. Boom. But see, listen, friends, when you're talking about abortion, you have to know this. They always take the argument to the exceptions. What if the woman's going to die? What if the baby's mentally handy? They always go to the exceptions, right? And I said, listen, well, thou shalt not murder. You guys just told me thou shalt not murder. You just raised your hand, said murder's wrong. And now you're saying it's not wrong. Oh, I know why. Because it's not a person. In fact, you don't even call it a person. You call it a fetus. Because if you call it a person, you would know in your heart you can't kill that. Dudes, we are so missing it. We are so, so missing it to explain them, first of all, the Ten Commandments. The idea is that we could live together by treating each other like this. I said the first four, they're about your relationship with God. Maybe not a Christian. Maybe you don't believe in Jesus. I get all that. But could you not kill, not steal, not lie, not covet? Could you do that? Could you follow those rules so we could all live together? I'm so convinced that we can still win this war. But we have got to be aggressive. Randy, you know what happened after? I always take hats. I always take hats with me. I had six kids come up afterwards and wanted to wear a hat. Why? Because when they walked out of that room, their values had been validated. And they were proud to walk out of that room with a Coach Dave hat on. It's powerful, man. It's powerful. And I told them, I'm here because you are going to be the leaders for my grandchildren. You're the same generation. You're 18 years older than, well, not them, 10 years older than my grandkids. But you're going to be the governors and the mayors, and it's going to be you. And I'm here because I need you to learn to do the right thing for the sake of my grandchildren. Oh, boom. See you tomorrow. See you Monday. Have a great weekend.